everybody. This is Eric Mann. I'm here today at the 4 o'clock hour of Voices from the Front Lines. It's our own segment of the Public Affairs Hour. You're on KPFK 90.7 FM. And the main part of today's show will be about the election, the mayoral election that's happening tomorrow. And I'll start out with a little bit of a commentary and discussion of how the Bus Riders Union is thinking about the candidates and trying to get a sort of a thumbnail sketch of the different candidates from our point of view. No endorsement, but just having worked with a lot of them. Then we're happy to have Erin Aubrey Kaplan, who's a writer for the LA Weekly, has been doing just really good journalism for a lot of years now, and she's going to be joining us for most of the hour and discussing the different candidates from her point of view, and then also trying to discuss the context of the black community's struggle to, as she was saying before the show, keep a toehold in L.A. politics, a long way down from up when Tom Bradley was mayor. It's been a tremendous fall. And normally, as you know, I'm here with one of my co-hosts, either Manuel Criollo, Tammy Liu, or Damon Azzali, and I won't give you each of their excuses today, but they all have different things going on, so you got me. But luckily we have Erin in studio, so we should have a good show. So I want to start with a couple of quick things. You know that we're following the case of Ward Churchill, the radical Native American professor at University of Colorado at Boulder, who was under a 30-day investigation of everything he ever did in his life because he wrote a very controversial, as if all politics is not controversial, commentary about the September 11th events from the point of view of being highly critical of the United States and from the analysis of a so-called chickens coming home to roost theory, which Malcolm X put forth years ago. There's on the positive side, tremendous outpouring of academic support from all over the country, national committees of support from professors that are now calling September 11th the third rail of U.S. politics. It's the thing you can't touch unless you're for the war in Iraq, unless you're for the invasion of Afghanistan. But if you question not only what's the U.S. response to it, which is acceptable a little bit, but if you question what was the cause of it, was there any legitimate rationale that a sane person in the third world might have for wanting to do that, that's what gets you in grave trouble. And Ward Churchill, who is tenured, which is supposed to mean job for life, is in a lot of trouble right now in Colorado. Ironically, the president of the university, Elizabeth Hoffman, just announced her resignation. Most of the upheaval about her is about the football team there that was involved with the unfortunately usual sex as a recruitment tool for ball players, sexual harassment of a female player on the team. Seems like everybody is getting either fired or threatened, the athletic director, the president, except for Gary Barnett, who was the coach, who was the one who was closest to all the abuses. So there's a strange thing going on where they're saying, well, Elizabeth Hoffman is facing two scandals. Well, the one scandal being the sexual harassment of women by the football team, and the other scandal being Ward Churchill's right to speak, which is not a scandal. The scandal is that the governor is moving against him. Last week we had Emma Perez, the head of ethnic studies, on our show. And she'll be coming, that is at the University of Colorado Boulder. She'll be coming back in probably next week, or someone from that cause, to keep going on what's going to happen with Ward Churchill. So now we're going to move to the thing that has been keeping you on your seat, that you are so excited about, that probably 1 out of 20 people are going to remember there is an election tomorrow, and 1 out of 40 will probably get out and vote, which is the mayoral, it's essentially primary, because in L.A. with 5 candidates, nobody's going to win a majority. There will be a second election on May 17th, which will be the runoff, But we want you to vote tomorrow. I mean, we do happen to believe in this thing called the vote. Coming out of the civil rights movement, so many black people died for the right to vote that I think there are choices. The choices are usually so much less than what we'd like. But you should think about it and make a decision. And today we're going to open up the phones later in the show and get you, I'm going to probably put you on a 60-second soundbite where you can just tell us who you're going to vote for and why. You can do your own infomercial, and we won't debate you. We'll just try to get 7 or 8 callers to move real fast, and we're going to whack it at the end of 1 minute. So I'm just going to do a little bit more, and then we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with Aaron Aubrey Kaplan. One thing that's really cool about being in the Bus Riders Union, as I talked to you last week about, and the Strategy Center, is we know these candidates. They know us. We're a real force in the city. We know Richard Alarcon. I've known him for 8 or 10 years. And what we write about Richard in terms of our assessment, Manuel Criollo did a lot of this work. He's overall, I'm going to just read the overall evaluations because I think it'll be cool. Better use his words. Richard Alarcon has taken many good stands, often with progressive and populist instincts. His response to our demands are an important breakthrough for any elected official. He's one of the very few elected officials and the only mayoral candidate who believes in a moratorium on rail and subway construction until the consent decree is fully complied with. In addition, Mr. Alarcon is supporting a moratorium on a fare increase, the implementation of bus-only lanes, and opposes the MTA Transit Court. Our main trepidation with Mr. Alarcon is that we need him to follow through with more concrete and solid commitments to his positions. That is to say, when we worked with Richard in the state legislature, he once tried to offer us a bus rider's bill of rights, which was a great thing. And then we said, well, is it going to have any money in it? Well, no. Well, if it doesn't have any money, then how's it going to fund the bus system? Does it have any penalties against the MTA if they don't comply? No, it doesn't. So why are you doing this? Because I think it could get passed. Well, who needs it passed? If it has no money and has no teeth, don't do us any favors. So that was sort of our dealings with Richard Alarcon. Good intentions, but not firm follow-up. Before I get on, here, what are we looking for? In the narrowest sense of the bus riders union, but narrow being pretty big, which is 400,000 bus riders, we oppose a fare increase for at least 4 years, which the mayor will sit on the MTA board and have 4 votes. This is very important. Secure $1 billion from the state legislature to meet the BRU new service plan, which has to do with buses to schools, hospitals, and medical centers. Stop to talk about subway expansion. That is, before an inch of track is laid, the MTA must reallocate funds from outside the bus system to implement the June 2004 consent decree final order, which is for 350 buses. Sponsor legislation to immediately implement bus-only lanes on major city corridors and oppose the MTA board from moving forward on the creation of an MTA traffic court, which is going to mean that if you're eating a sandwich on the MTA bus, you can get a $250 fine. If you don't pay if you fare evade, as it was, or in New York hop over the subway, which every kid has done, $250 fine. So those are some of the issues. And then there's one other issue that we've asked them all. Essentially, the core has been cut down on the cars, stop the trains, stop the freeways for expanding, spend money on the buses. And our last issue is no more cops. That we think if you decriminalize half of the actual things on the books in L.A., there are not that many criminals. There's too many cops and there's not too many criminals in L.A. So if you want the crime rate to go down, one way you can do it is just decriminalize half the things that have now been made criminal over the last 15 years. So that's what we're looking for in this race. Now I'm going to move quickly to Hahn. The mayor has responded very positively towards implementing bus-only lanes and is open to stopping future fare increases. At the same time, Mayor Hahn is aggressively running on a red line to the C platform, and recently led an aggressive policy shift inside the MTA board to reopen the option of underground tunneling that is currently prohibited by federal and state legislation. We believe this is the disaster, particularly when the MTA claims bankruptcy when forced to buy buses for the consent decree, but keeps voting to move forward with billions on rail projects. Our assessment of the mayor has been unfortunately more critical. He doesn't show up physically a lot, and sometimes he doesn't show up mentally. When he comes to the MTA board, he doesn't even deliver the other people that he's appointed. So we had a situation where he appointed Hal Bernson, who was a right-wing Republican from the Valley, as a favor for the White Valley votes that he got during the election. Hal Bernson behaved, in our opinion, in a racist, abusive manner towards people that testified in front of the MTA. When we went to Mayor Hahn and asked him to take a stand on this, he said, well, that was Hal. Excuse me, Mayor Hahn, he's your appointment. You can get rid of him. You can fire him. He's, in fact, lame-ducked out. He's an old man. So what are you going to do with him? Fire him, tell him to behave right, or get rid of him. Mayor goes, no, I can't control. You can't control the four people that you appointed to your own board. So the problem with the mayor, he has another fight with the mayor. We just saw him the other day, and he was very upset that we testified against the half-cent sales tax for more police in L.A., and were successful. It was not mainly our testimony, but the L.A. City Council voted no on the sales tax, and I believe, Aaron, you should tell me if this is right, that both Parks and Villaraigosa voted no.
They did.
Right?
Yes.
Which is a good thing. And the mayor was furious because he and his new buddy, Chief Bratton, were like, you know, how dare you vote against our new proposal for more police. I'm going to deal with Antonio Villaraigosa and Bernhard Parks after the break in a more conversational way with Aaron Aubrey Kaplan. So this is the this Saturday will be the 50th anniversary of the death of Charlie Parker. That's who you've been hearing. That's the music, Bird's music. So we're going to take a short break, listen to a little bit more Bird, do any station IDs. This is Eric Mann on 90.7 FM, KPFK, and we're going to take a break and then come back with Aaron Aubrey Kaplan and discuss who you should vote for tomorrow.